are listening to the Sermon Podcast from Real Life on the Palouse, reaching the world for Jesus, one person at a time.
We're continuing on. This title for this sermon is An Invitation You Can't Ignore. And just a quick recap of where we've been. Really, it's interesting because we've kind of chomping through this this part of our text. And Friday, Jesus shows up to Bethany in this. We're within 48 to 72 hours of his crucifixion at this story. So just to put it in a time frame, you're like, whoa. So on a Friday, he shows up to Bethany for the Passover celebration because everybody's there. Saturday, he's Sabbath. Sunday was a triumphal entry where he's basically stating who he is as he's coming in riding on a donkey. And Monday, he's flipping over tables in the temple. Tuesday, on his way back to the temple, he curses the fig tree. We talked about that. He has his authority questioned about who do you think you are. And then we have the parable of the two sons. And we have the parable of the tenants, and it's still Tuesday. And Jesus, as I'm reading it, he's just like, keep on going. And all of these bullets are coming at him. All of these folks are coming at him. They're going to try and get him with the Romans next, with Rome. And they're all coming at him, and he's just like, let's go. And so he kind of cranks this up a notch. Last week, we left with them wanting to kill him. But they were afraid because people viewed him as a prophet. And so Jesus is obviously very scared. So he's like, let me tell you another story. And he's like, let me tell you another story in case these other ones haven't got you how they're supposed to get you. So that's what brings us today here. And so we're here today. And he uses this imagery of a wedding banquet, like marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today. You are all Princess Bride fans. All right. All right. If you haven't shown your kids that movie, it's time. No. And so he does this image of a wedding banquet. And wedding planning. How many people, like, you're like, wedding planning, you're like, yes, it's awesome, I'm in. One, two. What? How come all the dads aren't raising their hand and being like, yes, I love it. Let's take 10 grand right out of that. That's a yes. No. So this is a wedding banquet that he's going to start talking about. But Carrie and I are right in the middle of planning a wedding celebration for our youngest daughter, Ellie. And so 2 weeks ago, we put the deposit in. Shout out to Mater Farm down there in Genesee. Put our deposit in, finished that last deposit on that. And we're going to have this big celebration that we're super excited about on Memorial Weekend. And people are going to be coming up from where Caleb is from Twin Falls, and kind of mixing our families together on this day to celebrate what God has done. With Caleb and our daughter Ellie, we've got a theme planned. We just know that's not me. Black tie. It's like a black tie affair. It's going to be like, you need to, you know, we want you to show up in like black tie affair. We're talking about like the food and all of the good things that could happen with the food and the beverages and the DJ and our music and all of these things. There's quite a bit of planning that has gone in to celebrate these two folks committing their lives together. And there's the do's and don'ts and the first looks and all this other stuff I've learned about over. I'm at the end of this. This is the third and final wedding for me out of my three kids. So I'm like, I'm at the end of this. But like, oh, the first look. I'm like, what do you mean? What's the first? Oh, you can't. Okay, I get it. There's all of these things. But, maybe you were invited or if you got invited to a wedding like that, you're like, oh, sorry, it's a Memorial Weekend. I've already got my camping trip planned. I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm like, all right, we're not going to count you in for the brisket then. You're out. But when you think about this, like this message today is really about an invitation to a wedding banquet that you can't ignore. This is an invitation you're not going to want to lose. This is an invitation that an RSVP is required, and you get to choose whether or not you want to be at this wedding banquet. So imagine receiving this invitation to the most important wedding in all of the country. Not a casual backyard ceremony with awesome brisket and cold beer and wine and ribs. That'd be just perfect. No. That's the one I'm going to. But it's just like a royal one. This is a huge one. This would be like for you older folks, like Princess Diana's wedding. And like you get a chance to go to this thing. And it would be a huge one. And you have plenty of time to clear your schedule. The invitation has been hand delivered to you. And the day comes. The meal is prepared. Everything's ready to go. The celebration was planned. And for some reason, you choose not to go. You'd been looking forward to this wedding for years. You heard about it. But you chose to miss out on a very special celebration. And that's the story that Jesus is going to tell today. It's not really about a wedding. It's actually about the kingdom of heaven. And it wasn't just applicable to these guys way back then. It's applicable to every person sitting in this room today. This invitation that you'd have. And so this is a king who prepares joy. So if you're able and you can, why don't you stand with me? We're going to read God's word together. I'm enjoying doing that. We're going to honor this awesome word, get some blood flow in there, and then we'll dive right in. So let's take a look at Matthew 22, 1 through 14. This is Jesus saying, so he's like, all right, let's talk to them. You didn't like that one? Here's another one for you. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered. There's brisket, no, and butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to their field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go out to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and they gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man who was there was not wearing wedding clothes. And he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? That man was speechless. Then the king told his attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. That's God's word. Thank you for standing and honoring that. Have a seat. It's interesting. We learn some things about God through this parable right away. One of the things we learn about this is that the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet. Right away, we learn this, that God is describing, the kingdom is not first described as a courtroom, a place of judgment. I don't know how many of you think like, yep, that's it, judgment. And I enter into the judgment room. It's not described as a battlefield, this war zone. It's not even described as a classroom. It's described as a wedding banquet. Throughout the Old Testament, a feast symbolizes the fullness of salvation. And now Isaiah 25 speaks, says that the Lord of preparing a feast for all the peoples. The Lord is preparing a feast for all the peoples. Psalm 23 says, you prepare a table before me. This imagery of feasts and wedding banquet, this would not be new to the hearers of this word. And Jesus says, the kingdom is like a celebration, a father rejoicing over his son's wedding. And that's where the story begins, not with judgment, but with joy. Not with judgment, but with joy. How do you picture God? How have you been taught to picture what God is like? Is God inviting you into joy, or do you think that God is inviting you into judgment? Is he distant? Is he disappointed? Is he demanding? Jesus says that the king is throwing a party, a wedding for his son. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. The heart of the kingdom is celebration. In the kingdom, there will be no weeping and gnashing of teeth in the kingdom of heaven. Do we have weeping and gnashing of teeth in our world right now? Anybody do any weeping? Gnashing of teeth, like, ah. But where we are invited to, there is none of that. And all of those emotions behind that create the weeping, that create the gnashing of teeth, all of the sin, all of that stuff that's caused all that is not going to be in the kingdom of heaven. The king sends his servants to call those who have been invited, and they refuse to come. This would have shocked the original hearers of this message. They would be like, what? Like, this isn't just any wedding. This is the king's wedding. Like, you could get killed for, like, this is not good. In Jewish culture, invitations came in two stages. First, there was the announcement that there was going to be a wedding, and then there was the final call. And they planned on celebrating for days. This is worth of food and drink and all things. It's not like the DJ's like, I'm out of here at 3 o'clock. I can take no more pictures past 7. No, like, this is days and days. Like, clear your calendar, folks. You're going to get tired of eating and drinking and dancing and celebrating this, and then you're going to go to sleep, and then you're going to come back, and you're going to do it again. And again, and again, and again, and this is going to be awesome. Like, this is a big deal. To refuse the second call wasn't just an inconvenience, it was an insult to the one throwing the wedding and to the bride and the groom. It says they paid no attention. And goes on to say, one goes on to his field, another to his business. Nothing like scandalous, like, hey, I was too busy to make it. You just shouldn't say that to God. Sorry, like, how many people here for like, oh, I'm very busy. Like, man, don't you wish you could meet the person who's in charge of your schedule? Like, why am I so booked? Why am I so very busy all the time? And I guess I'd ask that question, like, are you too busy for the things of God? Just busy, too busy to pay attention to the king's son. It's subtle. They didn't curse the king. They didn't protest the wedding. They just had other priorities. I have other things I'd rather do than come to this wedding, to come to this place where there's no weeping and gnashing of teeth. And here's a point I'd like to throw out to you. Indifference, being indifferent about it, is quieter than outright rebelling against this invitation, but it is just as revealing. Indifference is quieter than rebellion, but it is just as revealing. Being lukewarm. I'm on the fence. Maybe I'm in as a Christian, maybe I'm not in as a Christian. I kind of like go back and forth, and sometimes I am. Like, being on the fence, saying like maybe, means no. We either are or we're not. We're either choosing to submit and surrender to God, or we're not choosing to submit and surrender to God. And we are where there's lots of weeping and gnashing of teeth. We are being crushed like we talked about. We're being crushed by the cornerstone instead of being on it and being remade. What has your attention more than the invitation of God? My world, I'm like, but I'm doing God's work. I'm working at a church. There's times where working at the church has more of my attention than what God is inviting me to do in some other areas. But you work for the church. Like, doesn't matter. Still work. Still can be misaligned. What has your attention more than the invitation of God? Your work, your image, your comfort, your routine. But here's the thing, the kingdom is ready for you. Are you ready for the kingdom? Or are you simply just too occupied with other things? Then there's this escalation that happens. Things actually turn pretty dark. The rest seized the servants and mistreated them and killed them. Heard this story before. Now we recognize something. If we're the hearers of this story, if we're the Jews, if we're saying, I know where you're going with this. This is Israel's history. Prophets were sent. Prophets were rejected. Prophets were killed. We learn about this just as Jesus had told that vineyard parable in Matthew 21, where servants had been beaten and the son is killed. See, Jesus is not telling just random stories. He is confronting the leaders. And the king responds with judgment. The king was enraged. He burned their city. For some of Matthew's readers hearing this later, so if say they say 70 to 90 AD, that is when Matthew penned this, and they're reading this, they have just experienced a very traumatic thing in Jerusalem. The temple that Jesus is on that they're talking about here is destroyed in 70 AD. And destroyed like destroyed. Like every stone flipped over. Like a million-ish Jews dead, starved out, surrounded, and they put sieged it, and they just starved them to death. And like it would be like if 9/11 happened in Moscow and we lost 30 or 40% of our population. And it just happened 10 years ago. We would remember. And that would be like, oh yeah. Yeah, we remember. But before we rush past this, the same king who prepares joy also takes rejection of his son very seriously. Rejection of this sacrifice that he has provided for all of us very, very seriously. See, God's grace is not soft. It's not because he's weak or soft. This invitation is not weak or desperate. The king cares about how his son and how he's treated, and he cares about us, and you matter a lot to him. And so another interesting thing happens in the story is the invitation is expanded. And this is surprising. The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite anyone you find. Anyone? Yeah. The servants gathered the bad as well as the good, and the hall is filled. And this is stunning. The original audience would assume that the banquet belonged to just the special people. But God's banquet is open to every soul in here. You have that invitation. Some of you have accepted that invitation. Some of you have kind of accepted that invitation. Sometimes we're kind of in, we're kind of out, we're kind of in. But we're going to find out that being kind of in is not good here. Jesus says, swing the doors open to the overlook, to the outsider. And that's totally unexpected. This is the wideness of his grace. No resume required, no pedigree required. You are invited. Then and today. Just come. And some of you need to hear that maybe plainly again. Just come. Come back fully. Come back to what you've professed. You are not too broken. Your family's not too messed up. It's not too late. You didn't stray too far. You're welcome. Your family's welcome. Actually, your enemies are welcome. But guess what? They won't feel like enemies in the kingdom of heaven. They will feel like brothers and sisters. They will feel like family. So just come. Real Life on the Palouse, just come. Open the invitation to the party. The king invites you. I'm not the king, by the way. He invited me too. Thanks. And just when we feel relieved, the story turns again. And the king enters the hall and he sees a man not wearing wedding clothes. And he asks, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? And the man is speechless. And this part should be weird to us. We're like, you just invited him off the street, God, and like he probably didn't have his Sunday best or his clothes. Like they don't have very many clothes anyway. Like this is weird. Like what's happening? If they were just gathered out the streets, how could they even have the proper attire? In the ancient world, especially in royal settings, royal weddings, it is not uncommon for garments to be provided. Garments are actually part of the decoration. You become part of the wedding because you're wearing the garment that you were provided by the king. So the idea is that he was given a garment and then he was like, no, I'm not wearing the garment. This is not a wedding garment, by the way. This is a prayer shawl, but it's a great example of something awesome that the Lord gave me. And so he's like, hey, I have this garment for you. I have this thing that I want you that you need to wear, and you look out of place because you're not wearing a garment, friend. It's not that he didn't lack clothing. It's that he rejected it. Ah. He wanted to be in the celebration, but he didn't want to be under the covering of God. The king was like, you're supposed to look different. You're supposed to have the right attire on because I've provided that for you, but you don't want it. Why did you bring your sin in here? Why did you bring your weeping and your gnashing of teeth in here? Because we can't have weeping and gnashing of teeth here. And I tried to take that away from you when you came in and give you this garment that would cover you, the shed blood of Jesus, the righteousness, the robe of righteousness. We'll read a little bit about that. I gave you something to so you could leave all that stuff out there, but you wanted to bring it in here, and it can't be in here. It can't be in here. I'm giving you robes of righteousness, but you refuse to even leave your brokenness. And suddenly the story shifts from why would anyone refuse that to like, how could somebody attend wrongly? And the king orders them removed into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And why is this so severe? Like, give the guy a second chance. It's almost like he had lots of his chances and he rejected it. And continued to reject it and wanted the benefits of being underneath the covering of God, but didn't want to put on the robe of righteousness. So you cannot honor the Son of God while rejecting what the king provides. And here's what the king provides for those of you that are choosing it. He provides peace and comfort. He provides purpose and meaning. He provides hope and security. He provides community and support. But for some reason, we reject these things. I've rejected some of these things. Why do you want to reject what the king has for you? Why do I want to look elsewhere for them? So there's a slow realization. At first, we think the parable is about an obvious rejection, people who kill prophets, people who hate God. But by the end, we realize it's also about a very subtle presumption that you could refuse an invitation, be indifferent about God. Somebody tries to casually accept it but not fully pull it on. You could ignore the king. You can sit in the banquet hall or try to sit in the banquet hall on your own terms. But both of those things miss the heart of what the kingdom's about. Both of those actions lead to weeping and gnashing of teeth. And see, those aren't going to be where you and I are going to be when we're in God's presence. So this wedding garment, what's this special wedding garment? Scripture often speaks of clothing as righteousness. Let's take us to Isaiah 61:10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. You are clothed. God is protecting you. He's providing a way for you. It's not about self-made morality. It's not about my truth. It's not even about religious performance and checking a box when I came to church today and now I'm a Christian. False. Being in here does not make you a Christian. Following Jesus and being transformed by him and accepting the invitation, that's what makes you a Christian. And the man in the parable is silent because he has no defense. He stands in the presence of the king uncovered and he knows it. And then there's the final line in the text. It says, for many are invited, but few are chosen. The invitation is wide. The response is personal for you and me. And the door is open. But entering it requires for you to surrender and leave all of your stuff that's weeping and gnashing of teeth. You can't bring that into the wedding banquet. You need to accept what Jesus is saying, and leave it outside. You need to accept his covering. You guys heard the shed blood of Jesus, right? that covers us, covers our sins, covers the things that we have messed up on in life, that covers that so we will be in the presence of God where there is no weeping and gnashing of teeth because we're not bringing our stuff in. It requires surrender. It requires, it's not about, we don't get to speculate who gets to come in. That's not the point of the parable. Not for us. How many of us get to choose who gets to go, who gets to be in heaven? For yourself. But you're not on the judgment committee. And it's meant to make us examine how we're responding. Am I indifferent? Am I hostile? Am I presumptuous? Or am I clothed and covered by Jesus? I'll share with you a couple of thoughts that I was working through on Thursday that I think is for us specifically. You did get an invitation. You did. 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 Everybody. We all got an invitation. You being here today is an invitation. Now, what are you going to do with the invite? You know, put it in a drawer and forget about it and just kind of go to it when you need it? Or are you going to fully embrace what it looks like to be at the wedding banquet? You going to think about it? Check it out? Or are you going to put on the garment? Peter, I asked you to come up here for a second. Just over here. You don't have to get on the stage. Let's put this garment on Peter Royce, everybody, one of our awesome volunteers here. You don't have to say anything, Peter, but I want you to try this on. This is real nice. This is real nice. Look at that. Look at Peter in that, huh? Yes. Looking very, very good. You know, Peter, now that I look at it from this angle over here, when you have the garment of salvation on, you look different. It's like you walk in peace. It's almost like lots of stuff is still going to happen to you, but you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay, like long-term okay. And when I look at it from this angle, it's almost like, what is this weird, this joy about him? There's this joy that we're trying to figure out, like, where did you get that joy? Did you buy that joy? How did you get that? Oh, no, I've been working on leaving my stuff. I've been leaving my stuff over here, the pain and the sorrow and the things that I've been praying about, I've been lifting up to the Lord. And so like I can walk a little bit lighter because I am covered by the King's garment. It's amazing that you say yes to the invitation and that you choose to put on the garment. And when all of you choose that as well, you're going to walk a little bit lighter. It doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. But are you going to choose to put on the clothes of righteousness, the clothes of salvation? Thanks, Peter. Thanks for doing that. Appreciate it. Give Peter a hand. You do look good in it, by the way. Here's the beauty. The kingdom of God is not looking for perfection. He's looking for if you're going to accept the invitation. Let God worry about chipping off the stuff that we need to chip off. I'm not even that great at identifying it myself. I'm like, oh, what that was on me? I was carrying that? I didn't know. I wasn't paying enough attention. I was so consumed with me. Let God work on that, but accept the invitation. The banquet is joy. The garment is grace. The invitation is extended, but do not treat it lightly. And this story ultimately points to Jesus. He is the Son. He is the reason for the feast. He is also the garment that covers us. His shed blood covers us. He is why we can enter into this place where there is no weeping and where there is no gnashing of teeth. And we're not just invited to admire him, but we're actually invited to be united with him. To be with him, to be intertwined with him, to be changed by him, to be clothed by him. And the king has done everything necessary. The oxen are slaughtered, the table is set, the hall is filling. The question is not, is there room? The question is not, will you attend eternity with the Creator? will you attend eternity with the Creator? Because you are invited. This parable begins with joy and it ends with a warning. Both are very merciful because the king is still inviting. He's still sending servants. You have been invited. One of his servants invited you. The hall is still filling up. The invitation does have your name on it, so don't ignore it. Don't resist it. Don't try and redefine it. Come. And come clothed in what he provides. Many are invited. May we be among those who choose to respond. If that's you today, if that's your time to respond, maybe you're recommitting. You're realizing that you have an invitation, but you're not really sure where it is. It's moved around, but you've kind of been playing with the idea of following Christ, playing with the idea of coming in, but you realize you came into the wedding banquet and you chose not to wear the clothes. Maybe you're that guy or gal. And you're out here where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, and you're like, but I still have my invitation. Good. Put on the clothes of righteousness. Turn from sin. Turn towards Jesus, and let's start on that journey. If you're making that decision today, I'd love to talk to you about that after the service. Any of our staff would too. If you need to recommit, if you've been doing the religious acts, but you're still bringing your sin into the banquet hall, let's get that handled. Let's truly accept the righteous covering of God, his shed blood that is upon us and over us for all of eternity, for all time, and believe it and act like it. And so, Father God, if that's anyone in here, Lord, I ask you to impress that upon their hearts at this very second. Where are we too busy to notice you? Where do we go off into our field and off into our business and not enter into the kingdom of heaven, not enter the wedding banquet? Reveal that to all of us in here, Father God, that we would be more purposeful and moving towards you. We say this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. And take this chance to go to communion. If you're new with us, we take communion every week, and it's something that draws us back to thinking about that shed blood, to thinking about what Christ did on the cross, what he's going to do within 48 to 72 hours of this message as we read it in the text, that he's going to go to the cross, that he's going to be crucified, that he is going to die, and that he is going to rise up after 3 days. And so if that's your intent to celebrate with that, you can raise your hand and we'll be more than happy to get a communion element with you. If you're not sure about that, let's talk. Let's talk. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke and he said, "This is my body. It is for you. Do this in remembrance of me, Lord. We remember your sacrifice." The same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Lord, we know you're coming again. We proclaim your death. Let us accept the invitation." Again, thanks, Father in heaven, for this time. Thanks for the opportunity to share it with these awesome folks. I ask that your word would just be imparted into their lives. That this parable is implanted into their hearts. That they would make sure that they're accepting your invitation in lots of areas of their life, Lord. Where they hear the Spirit, your Spirit, calling them to something, and they would be obedient about it. Me too, especially. Help us to seek your face, to seek you out, to be available when called. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for checking out this message from Real Life. You can find out more about us by visiting liferotp.com and connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, have a great week.